Welcome to the Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew Broman. I'm so glad you're with me on this wonderful, wonderful day. May God richly bless you with the hope that is in Jesus Christ. Last week we began, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be preparing ourselves for Easter in April. And the way we're going to do that is by, I'm going to be playing some Easter musicals for us to think about Easter. If you wanted to get a hold of me and request a special Easter musical, obviously it has to be Christian, we are going to do, we're going to be doing it every week. So we'll do the Bible study at first. I'm the pastor of Safe Harbor Church, Pastor Matthew. I meant to say, I think I said that, but and then my email is M-A-T-H-E-W, V as in Victor, R-O-M-A-N, if you wanted to get a hold of me. So with that, let us get into our Bible study, but let me pray for us first. Lord, help everybody who's listening, especially those who are grieving in Sandpoint and the borough and beyond. Lord Jesus, be with us in a special way. Bless Ray out there. I don't know if he's watching, but just help him, Father, with his different challenges. I just pray you would bless this time. In Jesus' name, thank you for this radio program. Amen and amen. All right, let's get right into it. John chapter 19, verse 12. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. The Jews hated the Romans. The Romans hated the Jews. Pilate was there trying to keep order. He's in charge of Jerusalem during this Passover. And so they bound Jesus up, brought him to Pilate. Pilate is trying to get out of killing anybody. It's not because he cares. He just doesn't. He's going to get in trouble if there's another real big problem with a commotion or a protest or riots or any of that. So Pilate doesn't find any reason to have Jesus killed. And the Jews are like, well, if you don't do that, well, then he said he was king. And if you're letting him go, then you're saying there is another king other than Caesar, which of course would be a big deal for Pilate. Not just could be his death, but other reasons he'd lose his whole thing. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. Pilate goes to where he can give a formal judgment. It basically means a raised up place. This is the Bema seat. So he's getting ready to cast judgment on Jesus. Jesus is sitting there with a crown on his thorns on his head. Blood's everywhere. His back's ripped apart. He has a purple robe upon him. They mocked him. And it was the preparation of the Passover. This is the time when they're getting ready to sacrifice a lamb. And these individuals will be sacrificing the Lamb of God, as John said, that takes away the sins of the world, Jesus Christ. It's about the sixth hour, which would have been, by the Jewish calendar, 9 a.m. And he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. So he says, here's your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Peter saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? He's kind of mocking them. He is their king. The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Now, that's crazy. Romans didn't even call Caesar king. They had a king God, but this is just really emphasizing how much they don't care. They don't want to know the truth. They just want to kill Jesus. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. So the guards are leading Jesus away, and he bears his cross because all criminals had to bear their cross, probably a cross beam about 200 pounds, and went forth into a place called the Place of the Skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. And then they're going to crucify him, but we're going to talk about that next week. So he's in the Place of the Skull, getting ready to be crucified. Wow, wow, wow. It's so intense. We know from another gospel he couldn't even finish carrying his cross, and another individual was there to carry it. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready for Jesus Christ? Have you believed in him? Do you know that his payment is for your sins?
Holy, holy, holy forever. Great singing, and welcome once again to Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we celebrate the fact that we serve a risen Savior, and His name is Jesus. And there is power in no other name, and there is healing in no other name, and there is hope in no other name but the name of Jesus, and no one compares to Jesus. Thank you again for being with us today as we celebrate the resurrected Savior. A few of you are visiting with us for the first time, and we want to extend a special welcome to you. Thanks for choosing to be with us today as we worship together. On your way in the program that you were handed, there's a blue card. We call this our Connect card. And we maybe haven't had the opportunity to meet yet, and we would love the privilege of doing so. If you would just take a moment during today's service and fill out this card, we'd love to hear how you heard about Lancaster Baptist Church. And then after the service, there's a lot of things going on, but if you would make it a priority of taking...
In all of human history, no event compares to this. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It has divided time itself, and for 20 centuries, it has brought hope, healing, and forgiveness to countless lives. His resurrection account holds unmatched power to break addictions, heal relationships, fill empty hearts, and transform bitterness into peace. It gives meaning, direction, and the strength to overcome doubt and despair. As we worship today, we begin to explore this resurrection power by answering three vital questions.
To shake the
Jesus. This central question of Easter is still asked by many today. It was the very question that stirred the heart of a religious leader named Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, determined to attain the answer. Their encounter is recorded in John chapter 3.
Jesus, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that you do unless God be with him.
Nicodemus, listen. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
How? How can these things be?
Are you not a master of Israel, and you do not know these things? If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?
Help me understand.
No man has ascended from heaven, but except he that has come down from heaven. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Everlasting life? Salvation? But how? What must someone do?
Believe. He that believeth in the Son of God is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already.
Who is Jesus? Nicodemus found the answer directly from Jesus himself. He is God in the flesh, sent down from heaven to prove God's consuming love for us. And through his triumph over death, Jesus forcefully demonstrated that he was indeed who he claimed to be.
Say that I am John, Elijah, or any other man. They've seen the mighty work of God, but who do they say that I am? Who do you say that I am? The winds, the waves follow my command. The demons tremble at my name. But who do you say that I am? Then Peter dared to reply with an answer that came from on high. You are the Son of the living God, the one who was and is to come, King of all kings, Lord of all lords. You are the Christ forevermore. Can you imagine that I am the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world? Who do you say that I am? The rock is still shaking, evil's gates, and the church you are building still proclaim.
Once again, happy Resurrection Day. We're delighted that you would share Easter with us here at Lancaster Baptist Church. Who is Jesus? The importance of that question can never, ever be overstated, because if Jesus was just another man when he died upon the cross, then how could his blood cover the sins of all who believe? The Bible tells us not only was he the Son of God, but he was the resurrected Son of God. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also in vain. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And so the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ comprise the gospel that still saves souls today. Now Nicodemus had that question, who is Jesus? And he came to him by night because, as a member of the Sanhedrin, as a ruler of the religious elite of the Jewish people, perhaps he was embarrassed as to what his friends might think. And the Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these works that thou doest and these miracles except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, speaking of the physical birth, and except a man be born of the Spirit, speaking of the spiritual birth, He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Now, who spoke these words to Nicodemus? The Bible tells us that Jesus is eternal God. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The beginning, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus from the very beginning and eternally has existed. And the Bible tells us in John 8:58 that Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. In Micah 5:2 it says that he is from everlasting. Yes, he took human form in Bethlehem's manger, but he is eternal God. Not only is Jesus eternal God, but he is God in the flesh. That same chapter, John chapter 1 says, and the Word, this eternal Son of God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus Christ was deity wrapped in humanity, the God-man. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. Let's just say that phrase together. God was manifest in the flesh. So Jesus Christ, who is Jesus Christ? He is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus is eternal God. Jesus is God in the flesh. And Jesus is the forgiver of sin. He is the one who forgives our sin. By the way, all of us are people who fall short of God's glory. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. All of us fall short. We'll see more about that later, but all of us need a Savior. If we were not sinners, we would not need a Savior. Jesus came to be the Savior for the entire world. I heard about a preacher that was out in some neighborhood, and he was inviting people to church and doing some visitation, and he saw a young boy that was having a yard sale, and he had a lot of things in his yard there, and one of them was a lawnmower, and the preacher needed a lawnmower, and so he went over, and he said, how much you want for that lawnmower? He said, I'll take $40. Preacher gave him the $40, and the preacher was trying to start that lawnmower. He was pulling that string, and it wouldn't start. And he went over to the young man and he said, this lawnmower won't start. And that teenage boy said, well, if you want it to start, you got to cuss at it. That's the only way it ever starts. And the preacher said, well, I'm a preacher. I don't cuss. He said, preacher, just start pulling that string. It'll come back to you real soon. Deep inside all of us is the propensity to sin. We may not mean to, we may not get up planning to, but throughout the course of a day, we're reminded we fall short of the glory of God. But the good news is that Jesus Christ forgives sin. In Mark chapter 2, he said, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sin be forgiven thee. But that they may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Mark this down. No church can forgive your sin. No pastor can forgive your sin. No priest can forgive your sin. Only the Son of God who shed his blood on the cross can truly say, thy sins be forgiven thee. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Saved from wrath through him. Think about that. Let's say that phrase together. Saved from
wrath through him.
Saved. Spared. Spared from what? Well, the Bible says the wages of sin is death and separation from God. And we can be saved from the wrath of God for all of eternity. How can we be saved? Through him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? He is the eternal Son of God who came in the form of a man in order to forgive our sin.
Thank you.
Why did he come? Jesus, God in human flesh, walked among us. But for what purpose? Many believed he came to overthrow Rome or reign as a political king. But his mission was far greater. One desperate man grasped that purpose in his final moments. The Bible records that Jesus was crucified between two criminals. One thief turned to Jesus and cried out to him in faith. And Jesus replied, "Today you will be with me in paradise."
My life began like any other man, held beneath a mother's loving gaze. Somewhere between now and then, I lost the man I could have been. Took everything that wasn't mine to take. But love believes that it is not too late. Only one of us deserves this cross, a suffering that should belong to me. But deep within this man I hang beside is the place where shame and grace collide. And it's beautiful agony that he believes it's not too late for me. This is how love wins every single time. Climbing high upon a tree where someone else should die. This is how love heals the deepest part of you. Letting himself bleed into the middle of your wounds. Cause this is what love says, standing at the door. You don't have to be who you've been before. Silenced by his voice, death can't speak again. This is how love wins. Did you see this moment from the start, that we would drink this cup of suffering? I wonder, did we ever meet in childhood games on dusty streets? For all my many sorrows and regrets, nothing could compare to just this one. That in the presence of my King, I cannot fall upon my knees. I cannot carry you up to your throne. You instead will carry me back home. This is how love wins every single time. Climbing high upon a tree where someone else should die. This is how love heals the deepest part of you. letting himself bleed into the middle of your wounds. 'Cause this is what love says, standing at the door. You don't have to be who you've been before. Silenced by his voice, death can't speak again. This is how love wins. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood. 'Cause this is what love says, standing at the door. You don't have to be who you've been before. Silenced by his voice, death can't speak again. 'Cause this is how love wins.
That dark day on Calvary, love won. And that thief who was hung next to Jesus found why Jesus came. He came to die for his sins and the sin of all mankind. Through Christ, he found forgiveness and eternal life.
This is how love wins.
You've been trying hard to bear the weight of all your shame. And if there's a God up there, you're sure he forgot your name. When your steps are getting heavy and hope looks all but lost, just bring it all to the cross. Who told you grace can't reach the messed up ones like you? Has the devil made you believe the lies he tells are true? When you're sure that you're the one who's one or two far off, it's not too late, just come home to the cross. Come and see a Savior's love that would die to make you. Nothing you have ever done can change what mercy's done for you. And if you ever wonder if you're worth so great a cost, look up and see the cross. Everybody's got a list, at least a mile long, of every scar and every sin, from everywhere that we've gone wrong. But there's a reason for rejoicing, and the reason is because that list was nailed to the cross. Come and see a Savior's love that would die to make you new. Nothing you have ever needs what mercy's done for you. Look up and see the cross.
By stripes you are healed, died so you could rise again. He let the blood and water flow, and did it all to let you know you're the reason that he went to the cross. Oh, he's calling you to run on.
Why did Jesus come? When I think about that question and when I ponder the answer, I'm always humbled, because he came for one single reason. He was born to die. Jesus Christ came. He left heaven's glory and came to this earth to die on the cross for our sin. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to be a minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. We owed a debt we could not pay. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe, and he paid that sin debt with his blood. He paid for that sin when in Luke chapter 22, the Bible tells us they plucked his beard from his face. He paid for that sin as he was taken in Pilate's court in Mark 15 and flogged with a Roman cat of nine tails, a leather strips with metal shards in between, and that whip came across his back, tearing his skin and drawing the blood as he paid for your sin and for mine. When they placed the crown of thorns upon his head in John 19, the blood again came flowing down from his brow. And when they put the nails into his hands and then into his feet again, the blood came flowing as the sword was pierced through his side. All of this to pay the price, to pay the ransom for my sin and for yours. The Apostle Paul summarizes it in Ephesians 1, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Perhaps nobody understood it any more on that day than the thief on the cross. You remember the story. On either side of Jesus, there was a thief hanging. One had a heart of belief, one had a heart of unbelief, just like your street. One family has a heart of belief, five families do not. Two families have a heart of belief, 10 families do not. Lancaster, America, there's really no difference today. There are believing hearts and unbelieving hearts. The choice really is yours. And we see that on the cross, a choice was made. The Bible says in Luke 23:39, and one of the malefactors, or the thieves, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss, meaning this man has never sinned. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That first word is so important, that word Lord. It means that the believing thief recognized that Jesus was not just another guy on the cross, just a part of the criminal club or a common man. He was Lord. He was the ruler and master over life and death. And the believing thief said, Lord, remember me. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The one who has the power to forgive sin is the one who has the power to open heaven to all who believe. And so from that cross, Jesus displayed his love. He looked to the Father when he saw them gambling to receive his garments and making fun of him on the cross. He looked to the Father and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." On that cross, Jesus delivered us from sin's penalty. Again, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us need a Savior. I heard about a mom who caught her son eating out of the candy bowl, and she scolded him and said, "Don't you let me catch you one more time doing that again." And the little guy said to his mom, he said, "Mom, I'll try, but I can't always hear when you're coming." And that's how a lot of us are. We do all right when we're with a certain crowd, when we're at church, but we fall short every time. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." But Jesus turns to this sinful man, and he says to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And we understand from that Jesus Christ alone has power to offer forgiveness and has power to offer heaven. The Bible says in John 3:17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth is condemned already, because he that hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You see, friend, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is absolutely vital to knowing that our sins are forgiven and that we have a home in heaven. Jesus came to provide the only acceptable sacrifice to God the Father for the sin of all mankind.
Jesus, He is God in the flesh who came to die for the sins of mankind. Which leads us to ask, what does He give? If the account of Jesus of Nazareth ended with His death on the cross, the answer to that question would be nothing. A dead man has nothing to offer anyone. But the amazing true story of Jesus does not end at the cross.
You're out of your mind.
I was just there.
At His tomb?
Yes. At His tomb. I know what I saw. The stone, it was rolled away.
You were obviously at the wrong tomb, Mary.
You're not listening to me. I saw Him, and I talked with Him.
He's dead, Mary. We all saw Him die. The Romans don't miss with the crucifixion. You need to face reality. He's gone.
I know He was gone, but I'm telling you, He is alive. And He talked with me. He told me He was coming here to Galilee.
I know you want that to be true.
What's going on out there?
I don't know. There's a crowd gathering. Are they looking for us? I don't think so. I don't see any Roman authorities.
Let's go find out.
His disciples encountered the risen Savior. They came to realize that Jesus came to give eternal life. From that day to this, thousands have believed on Him and the power of His resurrection. And just like Mary, it changed their lives forever.
There on the cross at Calvary, You gave it all to purchase me. You are the Savior and the God who set me free. Now my heart cries, this is my Redeemer. With my whole life, I will give you praise. All the glory to the one who's worthy. Because of Jesus, I have been changed.
You made a way for me to enter into your holy place forever. And now I'm hidden, I am covered, I found peace.
Into your likeness you transformed me, making me holy like your holy. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
I am the testimony of the goodness of God. at Antelope Valley College. In a lot of ways, my story is like the thief on the cross. I was in a rough path. I was hanging out with the wrong group of friends, dealing with a lot of anxiety, depression. It made me have a downfall where I took medication for it to go away. But instead of going away, I overdosed. I felt like that was the end for me.
My name is Tim McDonald. I work as an experimental test pilot up at Edwards Air Force Base. I see some real parallels between Nicodemus' life and mine. I was raised with religion. I attended Mass when I was a kid. I attended Catholic elementary school. So while I had religion, I also knew there's something not quite right.
My name is Justin Shaw. I work up at Edwards Air Force Base with Northrop Grumman. And just like Mary and Disciple, Jesus showed them the impossible is possible through him. He has done the same in my life, and I pray that he does the same in your life. Before I accepted Jesus Christ as my salvation, I thought I could do everything on my own. Then eventually, I went down a dark path of just trying to let money be an idol in my life.
Last year in Easter, a friend invited me to Lancaster Baptist Church. At that point, I knew that I needed Jesus in my heart, and that's when I decided to accept Jesus as my Savior.
One day, I landed in a church auditorium just like this one, and a preacher took the Word of God and connected the dots and bridged the gap between what was man's false religion and the truth of Jesus Christ and his gospel, and I was miraculously saved right here in Lancaster Baptist Church.
Brother Rico opens up the Bible and he starts with some very important questions. First question being, if you were to die today, do you know you'll spend the rest of eternity? The truth be told, I didn't know. So I said, what anybody would say, well, I'm a good person. He said, Justin, none of those things are going to get you to heaven. The only way through Christ is through the Son, Jesus. And in that moment, I decided to give my life to Christ.
Has changed a lot is instead of having that burden in my heart, just being mad all the time, lashing out at people, I feel at peace now. I remember as well just looking at the worship, the choir, and it made me happy that I told myself like one day I want to do that, and this year I am in the choir singing for the Lord.
I am so very glad that Jesus Christ revealed himself to me and gave me saving faith, because in doing that, I have found the real true purpose of my existence. It has changed everything.
And to see what he's done in my life so far, I'm more than blessed. I know God has favor on my life, and I'm just so grateful, and I hope anybody watching this video decides, if they haven't made that decision yet, to give their life to Christ, because it makes all the difference.
I hope you have a wonderful day.